flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, it's Annie Heilbrun from Annie and Elston. Thanks for downloading and listening to Annie and Elston. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen and favorite us on the Odyssey app. We're also live weekdays on YouTube. And of course, you can always listen live weekdays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
There it is. Go-Go's Our Lips Are Sealed.
That's the song.
That's this the song.
This is the song. Let's get at least to the get to the chorus. Here we go.
It's coming.
The YouTube people think we're nuts.
People play. And now the kicker.
There it is.
Wow. What a moment.
We did it, gang. We did it. Hour number 4 of the show. Welcome back. It's Annie and Elston. On a roll with you, heading toward 2 o'clock, Wynn and Chris. We'll check in at that point. We assume Chris Ello is back from his...
trip to Reno?
Yes.
No, he's in New Mexico. He's in New Mexico.
They won't... Even better, worse. It's Reno, you could go to the casino or something. Albuquerque.
Well, I've never been to Albuquerque, but I've been through New Mexico too many times.
I
Land of Enchantment? I don't think so. I don't know what's enchanting about New Mexico.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, you know...
It's a stretch.
I've gone through the south end of New Mexico 4 times in my life, and every time I'm like, I can't wait to get to El Paso, which is not saying much. Same thing on the way back.
Were you like, where's the enchanting
there.
Part? Like,
yeah,
I'm
exactly.
almost there to the enchantment.
Welcome to Texas. All right. Sounds good. Welcome to Arizona. Now, they do have the thing there out in Arizona, the border. That's kind of cool. For all you that drive on Interstate 8 that turns into the 10.
Yeah.
You go check out the thing, which I've made everybody in my family do if they drive through there. The only one that didn't do it is my brother when he drove home from Tennessee this year. He's like, oh, they were closed. It's best $2 you'll spend.
Hang on. We can't get too far behind here. It's 102. Thank you, Brandon. Brandon says, time for a name.
Brandon's,
you are correct.
On it.
It is time to announce today's Annie and Elston entry into the biggest fan contest. This person is going to have 10 minutes to call the show at 833-288-0973 and qualify for our grand prize, 20 tickets for you and your friends for a night in our Odyssey suite at a Padres game later this season. Remember to register your name at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan. But today's biggest fan is George Burchet in Santee.
George! George.
B-O-U-R-C-H-E. So it could be Borchi. It could be Borche.
How long does he have to call in?
10 minutes.
Now betting George.
Clock's
Borche.
Ticking, George.
Got until 1:12. George Borche in Santee.
What's her name? Starts with a D.
D. Yes.
Deirdre? Dolores?
Deirdre?
No, like...
Her name was, like, Darlene.
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 Still waiting for that female.
Still waiting.
Mm-hmm. You're going to be waiting through next...
Oh, no, really? Maybe on the afternoon show. We don't know the afternoon show's names, do we?
Oh, I know all the names.
Oh, boy.
Well...
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Borche. That sounds like a baseball player.
It does, doesn't it? It could be a hockey player, too.
No betting for the Colorado
Borche
Rockies.
Down
George
the line.
Borche.
Oh, Borche, 5 minutes for fighting.
Left winger, George Borche.
Could be.
More of a defenseman.
Santee, maybe more of a right winger.
Right wing. Oh.
I mean on the hockey ice, on the ice.
The defenseman.
Yeah. Right. Anyways, defenseman. George, good luck. Please call. Only one person so far in a week plus of gaming hasn't called, and it was one of ours, so we're not happy about that.
No, we...
Someone else didn't
Gwen
call?
Gwen and Chris went 0 for 3 from the field
no
the final
way!
3 days. Yeah.
Wow!
So we're actually tied for the lead.
Ice cold, Gwen and Chris.
Ben and Woods lost their Thursday thing. We hit 3 in a row to tie things up.
Okay, come on, George. We need you, man.
Is the phone? Are the phones lighting up yet?
I'm watching. Okay. No, not yet.
He didn't ring his ding.
George Borche in Santee, 833-288-0973. All right, hit and reset on some of the topics of the day here on Annie and Elston. Reacting to Fan Fest, you know, we were all out there on Saturday. It was definitely a pleasure to see sunshine, ballpark, ball players, discussion.
Yes.
You know, the small amount of news that came out as follows. We talked about it earlier. Xander Bogaerts will be the shortstop. No surprise.
Right.
No.
In fact, it would have been a shock if they said he wasn't the shortstop. Because then we would have had to ask the follow-up question, who is the shortstop? Is he on the team?
Right. Is that someone new that AJ Preller's bringing in? Are they moving someone from another position? Yeah. But this kind of quiets the noise and also allows both those players, Jake Cronenworth, to know that he's going to play second base and that Xander Bogaerts can spend the offseason preparing for shortstop. And that does leave first base, I guess, a little bit in question. I mean, Luis Arraez, right?
Yeah. Right. I mean, because Bogaerts is at short, that means Cronenworth's at second. Mm-hmm. That means Arraez has to play first base.
Yeah.
Unless the Padres get a first base / DH that then they could work with.
Or platoon somehow.
Yeah.
Or...
Well, maybe Mike Brasso could be the platoon side of that. Yeah. I mean, it's not impossible that Mike Brasso could be the platoon side of that.
I heard Brandon Belt's available.
He is.
He's not doing anything.
Dude retired instead of taking a job last year.
You is he what? Really retired? Do we know?
Well, I mean, he's inactive.
Yeah, is Will true. Myers really retired?
Right. Will Myers is really retired.
Really retired.
I saw white queso dip at Trader Joe's the other day.
Yeah.
And I gave a little nod to it. Like a little, like, well, hey, Will. You know what I mean?
What's up, Will?
Will's,
yeah.
Will's with us still.
Exactly.
Gone but not forgotten.
That's right. Just in North Carolina.
Will Myers. Also that Adrian Morahone would stay in the bullpen. That Brian Hoeing would stay in the bullpen. And that's fine. And the way the Padres look right now, I think it bears repeating kind of what Zips had to say, what a lot of the projection systems had to say. If this team stays healthy, huge if. But if this team stays healthy, if the stars play to a star level, the Padres look firmly like one of the six best teams in the National League, which means they should make it to the playoffs. The issue the Padres have right now is they have no depth beyond their top 25 at all. So if they lost a starting pitcher, they really don't have a backup. Today, they don't really have a backup. It would be somebody random from the minor leagues that you don't know. It would be somebody signed off the scrap heap a la Jake Arrieta a couple of years ago. That's the level the Padres are at right now in terms of if one pitcher went down in the starting rotation. There's nobody behind the group that they have. So that's why we have heard two things, Annie. High 80s, but low floor. yeah. if things go wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. And you just don't have a big margin for error if, you know, you don't have a lot of room to breathe if something doesn't go right. And that's inevitable during a baseball season. Things aren't going to go right all year long. So they're going to have to build that in somehow, a little bit of cushion, or AJ Preller is going to work his magic throughout the season, which he sometimes does. He said at FanFest, he told the crowd when they had their leadership panel on stage in front of the fans that they still need a few, he said a few arms and a few bats.
A couple of arms, a couple of bats.
So again, that means, as we know, he's still looking for stuff. He's looking for ways to better this team and some moves that he can make. So I would imagine that that's, you know, if it doesn't happen before spring training, it's going to happen at least during or at the beginning of the season.
Someone is calling in. I don't know if it's George, but someone is calling in. I'm going to put them on hold.
Yeah, bat or two, arm or two.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Padres need a left fielder. Is it going to be Turso or Nellis? Where are our Turso or Nellis puff piece stories? Are they two weeks away? They're coming.
Yeah,
I was going to say, are they 2 weeks away? Because I need some groundwork for belief if Turso or Nellis is going to be an everyday left fielder in Major League Baseball as a rookie.
Cue the bravery song.
Yeah.
So give me something.
I mean, I need that groundwork.
That
I need
very
a little
possible that AJ Preller makes some
winter
moves and maybe Turso is more of a backup.
Brandon Drury, please.
Bring us Brandon Drury. Mm-hmm.
Bring him home.
And I want to go back to something we talked about on Friday. Buster Olney tweet, but one that I think is kind of being under-discussed. There are a total of either 10 or 11 40-man roster spots across all 30 MLB teams today. Now, it doesn't mean that, unlike the Dodgers, you couldn't sign someone and kick someone off your team and DFA someone. But that doesn't normally happen this time of the year. Normally, once you've put people in place now before spring training, you bring all those people to spring training. So as a result, let's say 11. There's 11 roster spots across all of baseball. The Padres have 4 of the 11 open spots, and there's about 80 unsigned veteran major league free agents. So it is inevitable that a group of 40, 50, 60 MLB players, Annie, are going to be asked to either take minor league contracts or sit the season out like Brandon Belt did last year. And it's inevitable that within that group, somebody breaks, somebody agrees to a $1 million contract to come and play for your team.
Oh, yeah.
The Padres are counting on that happening for 2 hitters and 2 pitchers.
Yeah, I mean, there's some really good players still out there, and there's some good players who are kind of starting to watch the clock tick down and spring training get closer and closer. And, you know, you'll hold out for as long as you can, but there becomes a comfort part of it, too, where the choice of holding out is outweighed by the fact that you want to get with a team, and maybe you have to do another prove it year. You have to take a little less than you had hoped for. But that's what teams are hoping for right now, not just the Padres, but other teams as well, hoping for some of those deals to get lower and lower as it gets closer and closer to the season as the days go on. Now, the other option here is that AJ Preller will still make a trade. Maybe he'll get a few of these kind of bargain players, or if they end up being bargain players. But he could also still make a trade with Michael King. Said he would be shocked if he gets traded, but then again, he didn't think he would be traded last year. Dylan Cease said you got to be ready to be traded. He got traded last year from the White Sox at the last minute. So these guys know it can come at any second, and I think it seems like it might be more probable for Dylan Cease than Michael King, but who really knows, right? And maybe it won't happen at all.
Got some breaking news in Major League Baseball. An umpire who has been fired for gambling ties. Let me leave that as your pregnant tease, and we will come back and tell you what that means. A news story that just broke in the last 5 minutes, Jeff Passan just tweeting about it. I will bring you the details of that story, plus our interview with Jackson Merrill from Saturday at Padres Fan Fest. All of that still to come. John Morosi on possible Padres moves, kind of building off what Annie just teased as well. So stay tuned. All of that in our next segment right here. Annie and Elston on the...
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan. The Slam Dunk in Vegas National Contest is your chance at the ultimate trip to Sin City. All you have to do is download the Odyssey app, log in, and listen to 97.3 The Fan at least 1 hour to earn your daily entry in this national contest. The grand prize, travel and accommodations for a winner and 3 guests to Circa Resort and Casino, Las Vegas' premium sports viewing destination, where you can watch the biggest March Hoops party at Stadium Swim, plus $20,000 cash.
It's a good prize.
All you got to do, get your daily entry, listen to us an hour a day on the Odyssey app. It doesn't even have to be us. It could be Ben and Woods. It could be Winnie Griffin. But make it us, you know. You're listening to us now.
It's better if it's us.
It's way better if it's us. I think you get a slightly better chance to win if you do it on our show.
Is that, do the odds favor that?
Slight.
Disclaimer.
Very slight.
Disclaimer, that's not actually accurate.
It's actually inaccurate.
It's not accurate.
Not accurate.
Does Pat say that in MLB?
No, it does. Oh.
Ooh.
So here's
we'll
the story.
See it, buddy. Huh? Jeez.
Jesse Rogers reporting, Jeff Passan retweeting. Breaking per Major League Baseball, umpire Pat Hoberg is one of the highest rated umpires. Was one of the highest rated umpires.
Man, it sucks to lose a good one.
Yeah. Well, he's been fired for sharing. Now, this is interesting. Pat Hoberg has been fired not for betting on baseball, but for sharing an account with a friend who bet on baseball, even though, according to this tweet, there is no evidence Hoberg himself bet on games or that he manipulated any games that he worked. However, he did delete messages central to MLB's investigation.
Hmm. So, what you hiding there, buddy?
I mean, seems like a weird situation. And I guess if you're MLB, you have to draw the line in some of these and make it known that you're not going to tolerate any kind of connection to gambling within your game. I mean, obviously, we've seen them do that in the past. So maybe that's one of these situations, because this one's a weird one. I mean,
well, let's go back to the DraftKings MLB desk and get some response from Matt Discursion and John Heyman.
Right, right, right. I said MLB wants to draw the line that there's no connection with gambling, even though they're very connected to gambling.
In every league.
So that's a good ironic twist.
I mean, how many of our... I mean, I had one in the Sports Fix today with, like, some other gambling scandal that has leaked into college basketball. I mean, maybe making a deal with betting companies is not a great idea. What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, especially in the story you had, it was like North Carolina A&T...
Eastern Michigan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, directional schools.
And Mississippi Valley State, who's notoriously the worst team in college basketball every year.
Mm. Yeah. They're the worst HBCUs, mid-majors, Sun Belts, directional schools. There's still kids playing there.
You can't monitor all of them.
You can't monitor everybody, but you can make a prop bet on just about anybody. So,
yeah.
I mean, there's never been a field more rife for corruption than what we have now. But in the particular case of an umpire, of all the people who could be corrupt, of all the people who could literally change bets and change a ball into a strike, change an out into safe, an umpire must be sacrosanct. So I'm fine with you're fired because your account info was on this account, even though you aren't. We can't prove you used it. We can't prove you didn't.
Right. Even in this article on ESPN, they're saying that they don't find any proof that he actually bet on games or that he threw anything a certain direction. That really the wrongdoing isn't in that area that he actually was betting. It was that he opened this account. It says MLB began its investigation into Hoberg in February 2024 after the longtime umpire opened an account with a licensed sports betting operator in his own name. The operator detected that Hoberg's personal electronic device associated with the new account was also associated with the legal sports betting account of an individual who had bet on baseball. Like you said, deleted some messages. And Hoberg made a statement and said, "I take full responsibility for the errors in judgment that are outlined in today's statement. Those errors will always be a source of shame and embarrassment to me." He said, "To be clear, I have never and would never bet on baseball in any way, shape, or form. I have never provided any information. Upholding the integrity of the game has always been of the utmost importance to me." Seems like a shame then, I guess, you know, to lose your job and lose your respect in the profession, because now the thing is, you could keep him on the field, but there's always going to be that, you know, talk around him. Well, did he call it a strike for this reason? Did he call it a ball for that reason? Did he say that he touched home? You know, is there something going on behind the scenes that we don't know about? And
he loses his credibility.
Yeah, you lose your credibility.
Well, here's the thing.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, you can feel bad for him. All you say, "Well, I didn't bet," but you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes.
I mean, it's just
you shouldn't even be affiliated with that at all. And here's the thing now. It's like with this day and age of, and it's everywhere, as we've mentioned before, the access to this is so easy. It's not like before, like when it was outlawed and you're trying to find like a bookie and it's like all these hoops and you got to jump through to try to make things happen where you're being super secretive and all this other stuff, where a lot of people just be like, "I don't even want to waste my time trying to figure this out." Yeah. But now that it's legal and it's everywhere, and people around you and your circles are doing it, and you know they can do it on their phone, and they're in the right state where you can do this. It's just it's making it so much harder to try to police. I mean, you know, the ones that we thought about at the beginning when this first was starting to really hit its stride, it's like, well, all right, you know, why are the Chiefs getting all of these like bets to win? But it's not that. I mean, there's so many selective things. It's like we've seen in the NBA where the prop bets on individual players that are borderline fantasy, and then it's got a lot of gray areas. I mean, to tell a player to throw a game for a victory for the other team is so like blatantly obvious, but to have him maybe only get one less rebound than he normally would, that's not like out of the realm of possibility. That's an easier thing to do. Or as we saw with the Porter guy or whatever in the NBA, it's like he just took himself out.
Right.
Right? I mean,
I don't feel good.
My head hurts.
Yeah.
How are you going to check that? You know, my vision's blurry. You can't check that.
Well,
I mean,
the
doctors have no idea, right? Take yourself out. You do minutes played. I mean, there's so many different wormholes to go down with this betting thing that obviously the people that are in on fixing things behind the scenes and ones that can make money off of this are very creative with.
Yeah, and you can't share an account with someone that's betting, and then you can't. Then you delete messages. It doesn't look good.
Yeah. I know the NCAA with a lot of, like, with working in athletics, and I haven't signed this document at USD because I'm an independent contractor, but I did do it at TCU, and I'm definitely mindful of this as you work for a university. The NCAA does not mess around when it comes to these allegations to the point of, you know, you can't even play fantasy sports for money of the sports that the NCAA has and all this other stuff. And I've seen that with, I know somebody that, worked at Baylor that had a friend that was, you know, betting on different sports, but it wasn't NCAA sports. But since the NCAA had that sport, you know, he ended up losing his job. And it's like there's so many different, you know, there's some serious consequences to a lot of these things. It's just that's why the saying in the NCAA when they give up this presentation all the time is don't bet on it. Like there's no winning here. If you're involved with sports, you cannot gamble like your buddies do or whatever on sports. You have now committed to being working in sports, and that's in all different levels. And the thing that's interesting for us entertainers on the radio, it's like we got endorsements for it now. I mean, it's such a complicated thing to do with DraftKings and all this other stuff. I mean, I watched there was a commercial the other day for ESPN Bet. It's all the on-air people for a show talking about ESPN Bet and Bet with ESPN mm-hmm. Bet and all this other stuff. But meanwhile, they have all this insider access to all of the leagues. I mean, there's so much conflict of interest and in what's right and what's wrong. It is such murky waters yeah. in the gambling thing because it makes so much money for these leagues.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, Ipe lost all of his baseball bets. It's not a guarantee that because you're inside that you're going to be able to win the bets, but you can't have the perception of shadiness or else you lose the integrity of the sport. And that's why Pete Rose was never going to be into the Hall of Fame and never will be in the Hall of Fame. And he's dead now, so it doesn't matter anyway. But also it's why Pat Hoberg, who famously called 129 pitches exactly right, game two of the 2022 World Series, considered the single best ball strike calling umpire in the game. And they'll just, not only did they cut him, but, you know, going through this story, they fired him last year. He appealed. This was the result of an appeal that this was announced today. He was fired in May of last year. And then he appealed the process, and so he got to keep working during that time. But this was coming down the line for Pat Hoberg for a while.
So, yeah, yeah.
You know. Rough situation, good reminder, as Braden said, if you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. We played a great game and won a great prize on Saturday. The game was come out and do a show at FanFest. The prize was you get to talk to maybe the best rookie in baseball, Jackson Merrill. Mm-hmm. And we had that opportunity on Saturday afternoon. Let's bring you that conversation. It's about 7 minutes long as Annie and I and Braden got the chance to chat with Jackson.
Jackson, how are you? It's good
I'm
to see
good.
You.
How are you guys?
We're doing great.
It's incredible to have you here, Craig and Annie. It's great to see you, man. And for all the Padres fans, you were out in the community yesterday here at FanFest today. What's the feeling just to kind of reconnect to the San Diego public?
It's good to be back. I mean, I feel like I was away for so long, so I'm excited to be back for it to be packed again in here.
Okay, well, the last time we left you, you were watching, unfortunately, the loss to the Dodgers. You stayed out there as long as you could. You were just sad the baseball season ended, right? And then you talked a little bit about how you had never taken so many swings in your life as you did last year. I want to know what the offseason was like. Like, when did you start getting bored? When did you pick up a bat? Did you change your training program at all? How'd it go?
I was bored the first week. I don't think I made it past, like, day three without being bored. It was nice, relaxing, I'll say, like, taking some time off and just being myself and going to do some stuff I like to do. It was fun, but I got so bored so fast. You know, those days where you're sitting around, there's literally nothing to do, and you're just sitting there, and you're just, like, you're just curious, you know? You're like, my friends are all in college, so, like, they have class, and you know, they're doing stuff. But I'm sitting there, and I'm like, wow, I have nothing to do, so I'm ready to go again.
I believe it.
Jackson, along those lines, right, a year ago at this time, a young man fighting to get to the big leagues, right? All the confidence in the world, all the hope, but a lot of unknowns, never having played center field before, not guaranteed a roster spot coming in. You go through the season, hopefully of your dreams, you know, almost rookie of the year, all-star in your first season, an incredible year. What's this winter been like for you in terms of this time last year, you could probably walk down the street pretty easily. Now everyone knows who you are. Everyone knows what you've done.
I treat the same as I did last year. You know, regardless of reputation, that doesn't really matter to me. But on the field, like, your work shows in your performance. So for me, I just, like, I took my time off, but after that, I went straight back to it. You know, I still kind of picture myself having to make the team and make the leap to center field and really, like, you know, get good enough to the point in center field where it feels like super home. You know, I only have 1 year of center field on my belt, right. So. You know, continuing to develop that skill and then developing the hitting, too. Hitting's the hardest part of baseball. So giving myself time to develop that and get better, you know, that was huge this offseason. So staying humble, same thing that I did last year. I got to grind for it, and I got to work for it.
Yeah, you definitely didn't look like a first-year center fielder out there. It's remarkable to look back and think about how spring training, you were just learning that position, and now you're going back more season. Yeah. Is there anything that you look back on from your first year in the big leagues that maybe surprised you, either about yourself or about what life was like up here?
How easy it is to make friends.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of these guys are older than me. They're around the age of 30, you know, they're mid-20s, upper 20s to 30, and my brother is around the same age as them, so I kind of grew up with them my entire life. You know, that same age range has made it a lot easier to make friends and make a new family, but it gave me time to, like, build new relationships, you know, not just, like, meet them and know their name and know they're my teammate, but to know that they care about me as much as I care about them is huge.
We're talking with Jackson Merrill here live from FanFest on 97.3 The Fan. Again, a winter, you said you got forward early. I'm sure that mind's been working the whole time. How do you think the league adjusts to you this year? How do you think other pitchers adjust to you this year?
I mean, I don't really know what their plans are or how they're going to attack me. I felt last year was just kind of weird. You know, there was no specific plan. It was just like try to get him out. But I hope they do the same thing this year, and I just try to get a hit. You know, I like how that's my version of baseball is you play to what they're giving you. You know, you hit the ball where it's pitched. You do what you're supposed to do your job. So I'm not going to adjust any of my game besides the small, you know, the small things you have to get better. But other than that, I'm going to play the same game, and hopefully they play the same game too.
There's been a lot of outside noise about what the Dodgers are doing or maybe what the Padres haven't done yet. Are you guys paying any attention to that? What's the mindset between you and your teammates?
I mean, it's pretty clear right in front of us. Like, it's not like we don't try to pay attention to it, but it's pretty hard to miss, you know. It's kind of all over social media and all that stuff, but we don't even mind that stuff. That's not us, that's not our job, and we're worried about playing baseball. We're worried about getting better, you know. I got guys in the room been playing baseball for 10 years in the league already, and it's like, well, you know, they've had ownerships in the past, they've had stuff like this, they've had teams in the past that have really not gotten along, but we're an org here, you know. We all still go along. There's nothing wrong with us. Just because we're not adding a bunch of players and all this stuff, people get the intention that we're not trying to win and, you know, we're not doing the best we can. But, like, you understand, we're playing a baseball game here. Like, we can beat anybody with the team that we have right now. So,
I love that, Jackson. Along those lines, I know you love all the mates in the room, but, like, who's somebody you're really excited to see take a step forward this year? One of the guys that you're behind that you're like, I think this is his year.
I say Tyler Wade. You know, that's my guy. He's kind of like me, you know. He's been a role player in the past years, and, you know, I think he has so much room, dude. He has so much room to get better and keep getting better, and he's already so good. You know, he's teaching me things, and, you know, I'm playing more than him, but he's still teaching me things, like when he's on the bench and when we're talking about stealing or whatever it is on defense. Like, he's still helping me, so I think that guy gets more playing time this year. Like, he's the man. You know, he's the man in the clubhouse, too. He's the man on the bench. Like, he's the guy you want to go and talk to when you first get there. So, Tyler Wade.
Two quick ones. We saw you at the Aztecs game. How was that, just to be out in the community and enjoying another sport?
Yeah, it was cool. I love basketball. Went to the Aztecs game, went to a San Diego Clippers game about a month ago, you know. Yeah, we've been doing all sorts of stuff, so it's nice to kind of get out of the community and just be normal. You know, that's how I like it.
And your girlfriend Sam posted yesterday, you looking at your bobblehead. Is it kind of surreal just to kind of see your own bobblehead? And do you think it looked like you?
Yeah, I think it's good. I think the tattoo on it is especially, like, perfect. It actually has, like, the same detail that my arm has, so I think that's cool. I'm honored, you know. I'm honored to even have a bobblehead this year. If I didn't have one, it wouldn't change me, though, you know. I would never be begging for a bobblehead. I just want to go play baseball.
What's the biggest thing you're planning on working on this spring?
Base running. I think base running. You know, I want to steal more. I want to take more bags and be more aggressive. I want to turn singles into doubles as much as possible. So probably base running.
Love it. Well, listen, man, I know we got to get you to a press availability here in a minute, but you've given us 7 minutes, and we really appreciate it. It's going to be a wild day, I know, but we look forward to seeing you out in Peoria even more out there in center field opening day.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Jackson. Take care. Have a good day today.
There he goes.
There's so much I love about that interview. It is his willingness to want to get better at center field, a position he was very good at, but his acknowledgement of, like, I just learned this position. I just had 1 year there, so I can get it. There's a lot more upside. He wants to work on base running, wants to turn a single into a double, and you heard him there. I think that's cool. High on Tyler Wade. You know, when you've got a guy like Jackson propping you up the same way Tyler Wade's probably propping him up, I think that's a lot of fun. And, you know, you just feel it with Jackson. He's like, "We nothing wrong with us. We're going to ride. We're going to go with our team."
Stock's rising. Tyler Wade is locked in. Locked in. Hey, that's a great answer. But that reminds me again of what I said about the Trevor interview. When you're a band of brothers, it's different. You're not out there trying to come up with the craftiest answer, you know? It's your guys.
No,
you're
going to
back your guys.
Jackson fully believes what he's saying there.
Right.
And Tyler Wade could go out and have an incredible year, but Jackson's saying that too because he's seeing what Tyler Wade does behind the scenes, and Tyler Wade works his behind off behind the scenes. He's a great clubhouse guy as well. So when you're a guy like Jackson, you're coming up in the big leagues and you're surrounded by not only superstars, but guys who, as Jackson said himself, I'm playing more than him, guys who are more of a role player, working at that same level of intensity and trying to get themselves better, that's kind of what lifts everyone up.
All right. Just very briefly, because we're about to get to Ask Us Anything. We don't have enough time to play John Morosi. And, you know, we can play John Morosi tomorrow. He's going to say something about the Padres tomorrow, too. But in his Today MLB Network report, he mentioned the idea of, well, AJ could go trade prospects for big league veterans. And that could be something he does this spring. Who? I don't see it. I don't see us trading Salazar DeVries.
No, he actually said, he said maybe a Salazar DeVries, but then he said, actually, but maybe not. Maybe it's the lower level minor leaguers. I'm not sure what that would get you, but he said maybe like four or five lower level minor leaguers in the Padres system, and that's who you're moving. I mean, left field, too, we were just talking about it. David Peralta would kind of solve a little bit of that issue. If you bring back David Peralta, it feels like you could afford him. The Padres, or they should be able to afford him. But yeah, I'm not sure who you would trade at the minor league level. What I should say is I'm not sure what you would get back.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard of the A.J. Preller concept of trading five nickels for a quarter. That's what he likes to do. But I don't know that we have five nickels to trade right now. We traded most of them last year. That's why the Padres have the 25th ranked system, and below Salazar DeVries, the next highest ranked prospect is Cash Mayfield, number 197. Like, maybe. I'm going to say to that one, okay, John, cool, man. Let's see what happens. I'm going to guess that doesn't happen.
Maybe at the deadline after they draft a bunch of players, the replacements, the ones that they trade away.
Yeah.
Or hope for 3 months of helium for some kids at Fort Wayne or some kids at Lake Elsinore.
Right.
That I believe, because that's what we do. Pump and dump, hype and flip. That's what we do with our minor league system. It's not a derogatory term. It's a way to use your system. It's not what everyone does, but it's what AJ does. He gets prospect rankings to rise, and then he moves those guys, except for the very few that he actually believes are going to be impact big league players. And he believed that about Jackson Merrill. He believed that about C.J. Abrams, Mackenzie Gore. Mm-hmm. And he believes that about about Ethan Salas and Leodalis DeVries. So, okay. Tell me what you can cook up on a minor leaguer for big leaguer trade out of the Padres system. If you can do it, more power to you, brother. All right. Let's take a time out. It's 1:38. Time to open up the phones for Ask Us Anything. 833-288-0973. Lines are open now. 833-288-0973. Give us a ring. You've got 12 minutes to call the show. And if you do any time in the next 12 minutes, we're going to throw you on hold. We're going to put you on the air. Let's get some callers lined up. Let's get a little momentum. Just come ready with a question to ask Annie, Braden, and I. Ask Us Anything to wrap up Annie and Elston after this quick timeout on The Fan.
Hey, it's Craig Elston from Annie and Elston. Just wanted to take a second to say thank you for downloading and listening to Annie and Elston. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast wherever you're listening to us. Also, favorite us on the Odyssey app. Also, we're live weekdays on YouTube, and of course, you can always listen live weekdays 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.